This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday afternoon. It's Tuesday, isn't it? Whew. I don't even know what day it is most of the time now. My name's Maggie Dawn. I am your lawyer, economist, buddy on the radio, always here to have great conversation with you every day. We got a terrific show this afternoon. We're going to start out on the lighter side of things. We will get to the last press conference that was had about the tragic and fatal school shooting in the 3 o'clock hour. I also will have in that hour for you expert-based threat assessment tactics, how to actually understand if there is a real threat, as well as the best practices if you are in a building when an active shooter situation occurs. That's going to come from the FBI's basically training videos. I'm going to share with all of you that info. Again, the sound clips, the most up-to-date information on that tragic shooting, fatal school shooting just outside of Madison, Wisconsin yesterday. Also, a bit of breaking news as we were coming on the air. Luigi Mangione has been indicted for the murder of Brian Thompson, the United Healthcare CEO. He has been indicted. His next hearing is going to be 9 a.m. on Thursday. So that bit of breaking news. He is still in Pennsylvania, has yet to be extradited. Again, his next hearing is going to be Thursday at 9 a.m. And the breaking news this hour is that Luigi Mangione, again, indicted for the murder of Brian Thompson. With that said, I also need to remind all of you, we are coming up to the very last days of Civic Media's grown-up gift list text to win contest. The last day for that is going to be this Friday. And you're not going to want to miss out. You're going to get that Civic Media app for free wherever you like to get your apps from. And in the 4 o'clock hour today, though my little buddy Dom Salvia is still gallivanting around the globe somewhere, don't worry, Dr. Tim Slecker of Busted Pencils fame will be filling in for Dom, and he will have for you in the 4 o'clock hour the keyword at 4 o'clock. You're going to text that word in during that 4 o'clock hour via the app. Got to do it via the app. That's going to qualify you to win either $100 cold hard cash or an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Both great things to have around this holiday season. And your text will also register you to win one of our 8 grown-up grand prizes, which include robot vacuums, humidifiers, luggage, espresso machines, all that good stuff. So you're going to want to keep it locked all afternoon here, and especially to check out Dr. Tim Slecker of Busted Pencils fame filling in for my little buddy Dom Salvia from 4 to 6 p.m. today. Also today, I'm going to have Will Ragland. He's the Vice President of Research, Advocacy, and Outreach at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. He's going to be here at 2:30. We're going to be chatting about the big things to watch for in 2025. Will always has some great insights. He's been on with us before here at the Maggie Dawn Show, so you're not going to want to miss that. My last bit of business this afternoon is to say thank you to my buddy Cal, who's on the board with me, filling in for Cardi, who's got a day off to attend his daughter's Christmas recital. So I hope that goes fabulously. Break a leg to Cardi's daughter at her Christmas recital. And my thanks to you, Cal, for filling in this show. So let's dig in. I wanted to start off on a less, I don't know, serious topic this afternoon, because I watched the Seattle Packers game this past weekend. That was fun. Boy, it was nice to watch a good round butt-kicking by the Packers. That was good fun. But it happened to bring up memories of Seattle Packers games past with Aaron Rodgers, which, of course, then led me down the Aaron Rodgers rabbit hole, because there's been a wee bit of controversy of late. And here's the question that I wanted to ask all of you, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. How do we really judge our sports heroes? You know what I mean? Like, do we expect them to be good people too? Do you have to be a good person and do good things in order to have a positive legacy as a superstar athlete? You know, this is still within this controversy, the Ann Coulter shut up and dribble kind of take. And we've seen so many sports heroes make really terribly bad personal decisions, not least of which Brett Favre. But it begs a bigger question about the way that we lionize sports heroes, entertainment figures. And my personal take here, I'll share with you eventually, but I want to get your sensibilities about this. 855-752-4842. Should sports stars just stick to their sport? Should they quit with the commentating on political things? Do we demand, should we demand of entertainment and sports stars that they also show up as good human beings off the field or off the stage, if you will? Is being a good person and doing good things necessary to cement famous folks' legacies? Because I think Aaron Rodgers really puts those questions front and center for us, because I don't know about y'all, but a guy that's going to be a first vote Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the best to ever have played the game, only has one Super Bowl ring, and that's all he's getting, right? Like, there are no more Super Bowls for Aaron Rodgers. And for me, listen, I'm not a football expert. I'm a sports junkie, though. I love sports, really enjoy watching. To me, watching Aaron Rodgers basically stink the last few years, and stink in his last couple of years, even though he put up great numbers, but didn't get the Packers where they were expected to go, pointed us to what I think has become indisputably clear about Mr. Rodgers. And that is, you can be the most talented guy on the field or woman on the field, but if you are in that QB position for whatever your sport is, or you are in any kind of leadership role on a sports team or on a movie set or whatever it is, and you cannot demonstrate the basic elements of being a good leader, your team will never achieve its full potential. And I think Aaron Rodgers has shown himself to be a guy that unquestionably credits whatever thought is in his head and has zero humility when it comes to recognizing that somebody else might have an equally valid but different thought about something. He has had very little success as a team member. He has not been able to command teams into those championships. And I think that speaks to the fact that, like, you got to be a leader, not just with your skills and talent, but you got to be a leader in the locker room. And to be a leader, people actually need to want to follow you. I don't know about you, but Aaron Rodgers ain't a guy that I'm thinking to myself, once more into the breach, dear friends. He seems like a jerk. And I just think his entire set of behaviors, when you look at it, and his failure to achieve but one Super Bowl will mar his legacy forever. You don't get to be one of the most talented guys to ever play the QB position and treat your teammates the way that he has, treat your colleagues in professional athletics the way that he has, and not have that negatively impact your legacy. And I think, this most recent controversy, and Calvin has been kind enough to put together the cuts, we'll explore it. The man has no self-awareness. It's just no humility, no self-awareness, no curiosity about why somebody might think differently, or let's hit the pause button and interrogate my own thoughts. The guy is about as arrogant and unself-aware a person as I have ever seen, who is, again, a Hall of Fame quarterback, maybe one of the greatest to ever play the QB slot in the history of football, and yet appears, by any objective measure, to be not a very good person. And so if you're unaware of this most current controversy, he's back on the Pat McAfee show after being kicked off for insinuating that Jimmy Kimmel was a pedophile, which Jimmy Kimmel did not take kindly to. That resulted in him getting kicked off in the offseason. But, oh, he's back on because now it's football season again. So he's on the Pat McAfee show, which is a sports commentating program, which he is paid seven figures to do. So he, a quarterback that will never see another Super Bowl championship, on a sports commentary show, giving sports commentary because he's a great player who's about to be a great former player. And then he basically says any former player that does sports commentary is a hack. He's like, what? The irony, the absurdity of what you're saying doesn't occur to you? Again, I'd like you all to weigh in. Do we need, do we want, should we demand that our heroes, our sports heroes, our entertainment superstars, that they need to be good people outside of that particular profession in order for them to have a legacy intact? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to go to the text and the phone lines next. We're going to take the sound of Aaron Rodgers basically talking smack about himself. That's the way I'm going to frame it up, Cal, because I don't know how else to listen to that cut. It's him talking smack about himself in the most unself-aware way possible, which to me just provides pure commentary. And one commentator wasn't letting that go. A former NFL player who himself has won Super Bowl ring called Mr. Rodgers on his baloney. We will take that sound when we come back. We're going to take your calls and texts next. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're all about real news and great conversations. So join this conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. And listen, if you want to tell me I'm all full of it, that's welcome as well. Also, more smack talk about Rodgers. Also, welcome. We discuss when we come back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, y'all.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn, your friendly radio economist, lawyer, commentator, friend, who's always down for a little great conversation, maybe even a little debate. For this first half hour, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers' recent controversial comments as he's doing sports commentating as a quarterback who's about to be done, who's only been able to amass one Super Bowl championship. He basically got on Pat McAfee's show and talked smack about people that talk smack on Pat McAfee's show. Let's take a listen to what he had to say, Cal. Let her rip.
These experts on TV who nobody remembers what they did in their career, so in order for them to stay relevant, they have to make comments that keep them in the conversation. That wasn't going on in 2008, 2009. That was non-existent. You know, the sports center of my youth, those guys made the highlights so much fun, and that's what they showed on Sports Center. Now it's all talk shows and people whose opinions are so important now, and they believe they're the celebrities now, they're the stars for just being able to talk about sports or give a take about sports, many of which are unfounded or asinine, as we all know. But that's the environment that we're in now.
Unfounded or asinine. Hey, dear Aaron, have you ever said anything that's unfounded and asinine? Because I can think of a few things right off the top of my head about, you know, being inoculated. Yeah, that was unfounded and asinine and could have killed people. So this is Ryan Clark, former Steeler. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's not a fan of Rodgers. In response, he was on with Cam Newton and Stephen A. Smith on ESPN. Let's take a listen. This was Ryan Clark's response.
I find it extremely funny that he's saying this on a show with a man who, as great as he was as a punter, is far more famous as a pundit.
That's a fact.
And Pat McAfee. A.J. Hawk, who I felt like was a good player, right, is now on TV and he gets to give his thoughts as well. Actually, Aaron Rodgers, you're being paid to be on that show to give your thoughts and opinions as a personality.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. He is not, to me, a first ballot Hall of Famer. He is one of the best and most talented quarterbacks to ever play this game. And he ain't no more. And his problem is that people are willing to say it. Are people not supposed to be able to do their jobs and do their jobs in an unbiased way and be honest about who you are as a player because you feel like you had a better career than them?
Yeah.
I don't agree to that. And for you to sit up there and say that there are these people who feel like they have now become the celebrity or they have now become the superstar or the sports center of old is gone. Yeah, bro, because times change. The reason that they're paying you $1 million or whatever it is to be on Pat McAfee is because you had a great career and people are going to listen to your opinions, which people listen to my opinion.
They
people listen to Cam Newton's opinion. People listen to Stephen A's opinion because those opinions are informed. And so my biggest problem with Aaron Rodgers, because to me, I'm actually not upset about what he's saying because I ain't no hit dog. And you know, a hit dog, a holler. Mm-hmm. My issue with him is you're doing the exact same thing.
You're doing it too.
And the reason that you're getting this opportunity to say these asinine things is because someone is paying you who is exactly the same thing that you are now speaking out against. Yeah. This dude is once again tone deaf. This dude is once again unaware. This dude is once again arrogant to a point that's almost sickening because he says these things and he talks tough and he behaves in this way, but he ain't, right? He has all of this cachet because he's a good player, but they ain't people around here that come around and talk about what type of leader you are. They ain't people that come around here and talk about wanting to follow you because of the type of man you have been. This dude is a fraud. Right? He's been a fraud and he could throw a football and that's where it stops. Once that talent ends, so does him and so does he. And so to sit up there, man, and to be just blatantly hypocritical is funny and sickening at the same time.
Damn. I mean, what more is there to say? I think Ryan Clark got it right. What do you all think? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4242. 4842. Matt from Middleton saying, I think we appreciate and admire the talent and work done, and we need to judge the person accordingly. Being nice isn't usually part of the character type that excels at competition. That's an interesting take. I don't know if I totally agree, because I've played a lot of team sports, granted, never at a professional athlete level. I've also led offices full of people. And I got to say, there's a difference between being cutthroat about your competitors and being competitive. And what I'm going to say, nice isn't the right word, but knowing how to connect with people, to respect them, and to motivate them to fulfill their highest potential. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers has ever been that guy. And he sure as heck ain't that guy today. I think we should be asking more of them, or at least not putting their asinine and unfounded, uninformed opinions out on the airwaves, on the television for $1 million. I mean, save it. Scott from Shorewood, I present to you Michael Jordan. Amazing on the court, a total jerk off the court. What makes him more palatable is that he knows it and he doesn't care. That's a take. I mean, Michael Jordan, largely known to be a total jerk. And I think it's problematic. One of the differences between Michael Jordan and Aaron Rodgers, I'd point out, is that Michael Jordan isn't going on ESPN every week making money, you know, rolling the grift, if you will, again, spouting off in public about stuff he doesn't know a gosh darn thing about, which Aaron Rodgers does all the time and is happy to cash the checks. Robert from McFarland says, Packer quarterbacks not being good people, huh? Favre and Rodgers, two little peas in a pod. Indeed, indeed. We got to take care of a little business now. We're going to have to move on. I could talk about this. I'll just say this. Aaron Rodgers, not a good guy. And I've heard just about enough from not good guys. You know what I'm saying? Just about enough from the not good guys. Let's turn the page, though, y'all. When we come back, Will Ragland, Vice President of Research, Advocacy, and Outreach at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, joins us. We talk about the big things to watch out for in 2025 and why they're important to you. You're not going to want to go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
What is up, everybody? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. In case you're just joining us, a bit of breaking news as we were coming on the air. Luigi Mangione has been indicted for the murder of the UnitedHealthcare CEO. His next court appearance in Pennsylvania will be Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Again, a bit of breaking news as we came on the air. Luigi Mangione indicted for the murder of Brian Anderson. He will be appearing in court this coming Thursday at 9 a.m. Alvin Bragg is about to give a press conference. That's Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg on this matter. We're going to keep an eyeball on that while we continue forward with our show because we've got a great guest for you. His name is Will Ragland. He's the Vice President of Research, Advocacy, and Outreach at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Will's going to help us put in context what the heck we can expect in 2025, why it matters to you, and how do we prepare? What is going on? Well, welcome back, Will. I appreciate you taking the time to join us today. First of all, happy holidays to you and yours, Will.
Got you.
Thanks much. What do you think are the most important things for us to be prepared for in 2025?
So I kind of carve this up into two pieces. One is what we expect to be coming from the administration, Trump, you know, the Republican Congress, and then what we expect to see from Democrats who are trying to lick their wounds, figure out what happened, and move forward. So start with the Republican side of the ledger. Right out of the gate, they're going to move to consolidate power within the office of the presidency, remove any hurdles, remove any obstacles of any person, law, policy, thing, institution standing in their way to do the things that they want. And they're going to do that in three parts. Russ Vogt has been nominated to run the Office of Management and Budget. He was the main architect of Project 2025. He ran the OMB during the last Trump administration and has sketched out a very detailed, comprehensive game plan pretty much remove all independent agencies in the federal government. What are those? Those are things like the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, the FCC, and they've even talked about going as far as the Fed. We're talking about agencies like the CFPB. Those are a lot of acronyms, but there are a lot of independent agencies that act independently of the president.
And what they're going to try and put. And if I can't jump in here, well, one of the things that's so important for people to know about this, because we can all say we want change, we want government to be more responsive, right? We want to see things get better. The agencies that are independent, there's a through line amongst them, right? If you think about the SEC, the FCC, so Securities and Exchange Commission, the Federal Communication Commission, the Federal Reserve itself, and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, many of these so-called independent federal agencies are there to ensure fair playing fields for small businesses and that consumers and people that listen to the airwaves, et cetera, are in fact protected, that people with a lot of power and access aren't breaking the rules to the detriment of regular people. There's a through line there, the Fed working for the benefit of the entire economy. And I think that's important for people to keep in mind as we move forward. I apologize for the interruption.
No, that's a great point. So these independent agencies are supposed to enforce the laws. There are umpires, there are referees that aren't supposed to have any political side of anything. They're trying to enforce the law. The FBI is another one. Again, these are agencies that in a lot of instances have longer terms than a presidential term. So yes. 6 to 10 years. So these people are supposed to stay in power. Well, you know, Trump has made it precedent to just get rid of them when he comes into power. He did it with James Comey at the FBI last go around, and he's going to do it across the board as many times and in many instances as he can. Russ Vogt has made that plain. In an interview with Tucker Carlson recently, he laid that out. The second piece of this is eliminating a lot of the civil servants that support a lot of these agencies and agencies across the board. Basically a loyalist test and something they've called Schedule F that will make it a lot easier to get rid of career federal employees. Think of people like scientists, safe food inspectors, FAA, parts inspectors, attorneys, people in the general counsel's offices. It's like, well, you can't actually do that because it's against the law.
Well, get rid of that guy. Get rid of that guy or gal. Wait, we can't do that? No, you're gone. Thank you.
Yep, pretty much.
And the and third thing is?
The third thing is impoundment, which is basically a fancy term for allowing the president to not spend money that Congress has directed them to spend. So if Congress says, hey, we're giving you this money to spend on a specific program, they can say, well, we don't have to spend all of it. In fact, we may not spend any of it. So those are the three primary ways that they're going to try and consolidate power to implement the policies that you're starting to see with the DOGE Commission, making these massive cuts, whatever the heck that is. They're going to use it to start their mass deportation and immigration moves. And their tariff plan, which doesn't require much, if any, congressional action. And I think you'll start to see a very transactional approach to governing. So industries or countries that really are that don't want these tariffs are like, well, what can we do for you? What can we do for you politically? What can we do for you personally? You can think of the types of transactions that they might be willing to take to try and curry favor within a Trump administration to gain some advantage around not having as much or even no tariffs implemented on a specific country or industry or sector. So those are some of the big things I'd look out for. Obviously, their big push is going to be a big tax cut bill. that will that they're aiming to make even further cuts for large corporations. He recently said he wants to bump it down to 15%. Me and a colleague did an analysis on this earlier this year, showing that the top 100 corporations in the U.S. would get a $50 billion tax cut annually. And just for perspective, that is about as much as the United States spends, or the federal government spends, on K-12 education every year.
Wow.
And that's just for the largest 100 corporations. So, you know, there's some big things they're trying to move. I think they're going to try and attack pieces of the ACA and yes. healthcare. They're going to try and, as part of this, repeal the Inflation Reduction Act, which had a lot of great things in terms of reducing drug costs, allowing Medicare to negotiate with pharmaceutical companies to bring down the cost of drugs, insulin caps. So I think you're going to start to see some of that. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Please continue.
That's the bad stuff.
Yes.
And if we want to continue on the bad stuff, we can. But on our side, I, believe it or not, I'm sort of excited for a fresh start and a new page.
Me too, Will. Tell me why you're excited. I think there's progress to be made here. I think there's opportunity.
Well, for 99% of my career, and this is stretching back 20 years in politics, I've been executing against someone else's script. And I think right now, especially this year, there's a lot of room for experiments, innovation, trying new things, and trying to reach people in places where we may not have always gone. There's a real big opportunity for us to sort of shed this legacy past and this reflex to defend the status quo and our institutions, which aren't working for way too many people.
This is fascinating that you say this, because I heard the newly minted senator from New Jersey, Andy Kim, was interviewed on NPR, and he was kind of giving his own postmortem, and here's where his understanding is. And he said something very similar, Will, to what you just said. And that is, he does lots of town halls. That's one of his things. He said what he's heard from voters after the election, because he's done a few, was that to them, the Democratic Party stood for preservation and defense of the status quo. And he said that voters translated this defend democracy as defend the status quo, and that didn't, like, whatever that meant, it was too vague, too unspecific. He also said that voters didn't particularly respond well to being, you know, our candidate, Vice President Harris, being out there with Liz Cheney, both of whom then took on, they kind of had this interactive impression that left it looking very status quo, right? The establishment kind of candidates. Seems to be that you're saying the same thing. And this is a lot of the place where I feel hopeful as well, that Democrats, forget the playbook, forget the old talking points, go out there, let's talk about what's really going on. Let's speak plainly to and with people. Let's engage in conversation, and let's actually bust the status quo. This is what people want to see. They want to see improvements.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. So one of my things here is, and I think we have to an extent done that with our actions, but we don't get the eyeballs. Like, we are yes. defined by the other side. Like, yes. when people think of Democrats, far too many people hear and see the definition of what progressives or Democrats or liberals or whatever are, they were defined by the Hannitys or the Dan Bonginos of the world or the Tucker Carlson of the world or the Elon Musk, Trumps of the world. We have to get out there and meet voters where they are. And what I mean by that, that's easy to say, but what I mean by that is we have to get eyeballs. And the way you get eyeballs and get people interested is to have genuine, authentic conversations back and forth and debate. People want to see where we differ. Like, even if we're out there on some show and we're getting slammed and like most of the audience doesn't agree with them, that's okay. At least they know where we're coming from and they're hearing it straight from the horse's mouth.
Yes. Right?
Like, Trump gets credit for this all the time. When you see interviews with his voters are like, yeah, I don't really agree with him on this, but at least I know where he's coming from or what he's
saying.
Well,
like, be clear, be specific, say, I disagree, or this is what I believe in, to take an affirmative case. Listen, I get negative feedback every day on this show from people that are listening telling me they don't agree. But at least I'm trying to speak to what I think is most important for us to change, for the vast majority of us to do better, right? Like, these are the things that have been broken. And I'll own and I'll take the heat for messages not properly conveyed to voters in the past by Democrats, and steps that weren't big enough, right? And I'll always have the debate, and happy to debate the past and what Dems have done for the middle class and working people. But the point is, moving forward, we have to make that case in a much more affirmative way. And I do believe that this is an opportunity to do that. When we come back, we got just a couple of minutes, so I'm going to gild the lily a little bit here, Will, because I want to ask you a particular strategy question about Dems in 2025. You mentioned what I think could be one of the most economically destabilizing and hurtful to the middle class tax proposals of a generation. It was bad enough in 2017, right? It will be worse if these tax cuts are extended and deepened in a new Donald Trump tax cut plan for the wealthiest corporations and wealthiest among us. My question to you and to everybody out there listening, regardless of what you think needs else to be fixed in the system, to me, giving billionaires more tax cuts ain't a good solution, right? Taking $50 billion out of our revenues is not a good solution, especially when it equates to our federal government's education budget. Here's my question that I want to come back to you, Will, with, and I also want folks at home to start thinking about. And that is, do Democrats oppose all of it? Do we compromise on something to get some tax cuts for the middle class? What's the political tactic when it comes to Trump tax giveaway to billionaires and our richest corporations 2.0? I'm joined by Will Ragland, Vice President of Research, Advocacy, and Outreach at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We'll discuss Trump's tax plan when we come back, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My guest this half hour, Will Ragland from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're talking about what to anticipate in 2025. We know that Donald Trump will be trying to not just extend the tax cuts that he gave to, yes, middle class people, which was well deserved, and I'm for that. But he also... the whole point of the 2017 tax cuts wasn't about the middle class, though that was sort of the fig leaf, right? It was about billionaire tax cuts for 100 millionaires and some of our wealthiest corporations. He plans on not just extending those, but increasing the amount of tax cuts, which will starve our government of some of the revenue that it needs for some of the most fundamental services that every American relies upon. Read public education, Medicare, Medicare, Social Security. My question to you, Will, and one of the strategic questions that I have to imagine is getting debated, is do Democrats on Capitol Hill oppose Trump tax cut plan 2.0 on all fronts? Do they try to negotiate in the tax? Like, what's the tactic here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question. It cuts right to the heart. Look, I think there are a couple of principles that Democrats need to approach this debate with. No tax package should increase income inequality. Whatever passes, we need to make sure that middle class folks, working class folks get cuts, but like it shouldn't. We need to make sure that this whatever passes doesn't increase the massive income inequalities we've seen for over generations. So that's first and foremost. Second, all of it should be paid for. Any new tax cuts should be paid for with taxes with tax increases on the wealthy, on those that already in too many instances aren't paying their fair share. And the third thing is, like, it shouldn't be paid for with investments that have already been made that are making us more competitive, like, you know, the CHIPS Act. It shouldn't, you know, the investments that have already been creating jobs and building, you know, the next century manufacturing in this country, which shouldn't come at the expense of that. So I think if Democrats approach it through that lens, then I think it will be key that they stick together. My worry is that many will start to splinter off.
Yes.
And we won't have a strong debate. Like, you know, I worry about the state and local tax exemption and certain people in certain areas of the country high property values or who have constituencies in some of those districts start playing ball and, you know, do a little give and take. And even though the barter package is terrible, you know.
Well, don't you think that potential speaks to precisely one of the things that has plagued the Democratic Party, that there hasn't been, and I'm going to use the word enforcement, like party line enforcement of, listen, you don't get to bargain away because it happens to be good for just your constituents when it's going to burden or hurt the middle class and working people on this country in the aggregate more than what your tiny little deal that you're getting done for your district helps, right? That fundamental principle that, yes, we should make sure that the middle class is the beneficiary, that working people are the beneficiary of tax cuts, and that whatever that is doing, it's not making the income and wealth inequality in this country worse, that we cannot permit Democrats to splinter off and start cutting side deals that fundamentally undermine the very thing that I think motivated in good faith the vast majority of Trump voters, and that is real economic anxiety and the feeling that they're getting screwed, because they are. I mean, Elon Musk's $444 billion, if he spent $10 million a day, every day for 100 years, he will only have spent $365 billion. I mean, this is part of the problem.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I will say that, you know, in 2017, when the first round of tax cuts for the rich and wealthy passed, Democrats stayed on side. We stayed together. The Democrats stayed together. And because of that, we were able to make it an issue. We were able to say, look, they passed these tax cuts and breaks for the wealthy and the big corporations and are forgetting about you. And they tried to make it even worse with ACA repeal. And Democrats stuck together on that too. So I think we can point to that. And get people to remember those fights, you know, it'll be good for us. But I think it's going to be hard.
Thanks so much. I always appreciate your insights, Will. This is Will Ragland. He's from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. The thing that concerns me is, unlike in 2017, I think the environment is so changed that I worry about Democrats losing some of their nerve, right, in the wake of what this election cycle meant. Very briefly, we got less than a minute. Will, if you can just tell us, how important do you think elections and state and local elections and appointments for judges are in the face of a Supreme Court that is so far right-leaning?
I mean, this is where the right built their power for decades and decades. And I think we're starting to see a lot of that happen on our side, starting with Wisconsin and Ben Wickler. So I'm really hopeful that some of the things that Wisconsin did well, we can take to scale nationally.
From your lips to God's ears, Will. That's Will Ragland from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Happy holidays to you, my friend. When we come back after the top of the hour, I'm going to give you the up-to-date new news about the Luigi Mangione indictment for murder of the UnitedHealthcare CEO. That when we come back, and we'll talk a bit about the fatal school shooting yesterday outside of Madison, Wisconsin. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.